We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
One is a football guy obsessed with the Pats and their QB.
Brady can play till he's 50. Changed my mind.
The other, a basketball guy who truly bleeds green.
But goddamn, the one thing that I love to do is sit down and watch the Boston Celtics at the end of the day.
Together, they make for a perfectly imperfect pair of Boston sports superfans.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
It's the Oddballs with Fitzy and Gilroy on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
No, I think with our team, I think it's what I think we've done over years is not project, you know, expectations for people that put them in an unfair position, that people are expecting things that, you know, are not in my control. I mean, if you want to ask someone like Nikhil how he feels he's doing, you should ask him. But to ask me and then put unfair expectations on a younger player, I mean, I don't think that's helpful at all. He's working hard. He's extremely, you know, hardworking. He wants to do it. He's got a great edge about him. I really love that. I really love his tenacity. And he's learning every day. And he's working hard to get better. And I think that's all you can ask of a younger player.
All right. So that was Tom Brady earlier this week on the Greg Hill Show, talking about Nikhil Harry. Brian Barrett in for Patrick Gilroy. Fitzy's here. The number is 617-779-7937. I'm really still trying to, and I just heard it. I heard the interview earlier in the week, and then I read the quotes. I still don't completely understand what Tom Brady's saying. So I'm guessing, Fitzy, maybe you can translate Brady because right. You talk to him every week.
He doesn't
want to put unfair expectations on Nikhil Harry, so he's not going to comment about basically what he's been doing at practice. Is that basically what Brady's saying? Or is it one of these things where Brady's basically hiding the fact that maybe they're not getting what they need out of Nikhil Harry at practice, and he doesn't want to essentially throw him under the bus and say, oh, we need more from Nikhil Harry, like he would do with a veteran. Like, I believe when he was talking about we need more from our veterans earlier this season,
right.
He was talking about Josh Gordon. I truly believe he wasn't talking about Edelman. So I believe that was about Josh Gordon. So in this particular case, maybe he doesn't want to say anything negative about the rookie. So that's why he comes up with this elaborate answer, like, it's unfair for me to put expectations on him.
Well, at least he spoke to it, because we tried talking to him about it both 2 weeks ago following the Baltimore loss, and then on our bye week chat with him where he gave us the little nugget about not being over Super Bowl 52. That little bite came from the bonus Brady we got Wednesday when he called into OMF as part of Christian Fourier's 25 for 25, which, and let's take a quick second to give him some shout-out props and hip-hops for going 25 for 100K this week in his epic 26-ish hour-long radio
overshot
marathon.
The goal just a little bit, huh?
Just a little bit. But that's how you're supposed to outkick your coverage, Ben.
Yeah.
That was impressive.
Yeah.
I think what Brady is saying there, and when you said a minute ago, like, I think he was talking to guys like Josh Gordon saying we're going to need a lot out of our vets. Curious that Gordon gets dumped, makes a couple nice plays for Seattle, because he's probably going to be the good Josh Gordon for them. The rumblings I heard were that he was starting to show up late for meetings, that he wasn't being accountable, that he wasn't returning calls, and he was starting to sow just a few seeds of doubt, like, are we going to lose Josh? Is he going to go off the rails? And if he's too unpredictable, Belichick was like, not gonna do with it. Nope. We did you good for a year. And if you can't keep doing a solid while we take another chance on you, then don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you, buddy. Best of luck in Seattle. Now, Brady saying what he said about Harry there in that interview from OMF tells me that he realizes that they're going to need him. And he doesn't want to say, like, I need this kid to be a red zone target. I need this kid to be the new Gronk. I want an Anquan Boldin. I need a downfield threat. I need somebody to be open and accountable 12 yards on the sideline when I'm looking at a third and nine. If you put that pressure on him and he has an okay game or isn't like a Pro Bowl caliber receiver, if he's not a Madden 100 right from Jump Street, then it could crawl into his head and doubt could creep in. And you know the way the media gets all over everyone, even if they're doing well in this town. So I think Brady is actually It sounds kind of paternal from Brady to me. Like he's setting him up to not surpass expectations, but rather play at his own speed and tempo, because we legitimately have not seen this kid on a professional football field when it counts. And I would hardly say Detroit in the preseason counts for much.
Well, it makes total sense, too, what you're saying, because if you look at it from Brady's angle on this, there was probably, what, 6 to 7 weeks of the season that he thought that he probably wasn't going to need N'Keal Harry, right? He thought they were going to be good enough without N'Keal Harry, especially for the 11 days that we'll forget with Antonio Brown as a member of the Patriots.
At that point,
Brady's thinking, I'm never going to need the rookie, right? I'm never going to need N'Keal Harry. Even if you go back to the fact that he was loving Demaryius Thomas in the preseason and training camp, and he was working out at TB12, so he never expected this. So now, to your point, maybe the fact that he doesn't want to say anything negative about N'Keal Harry is the fact that he realizes, like, oh, crap. Now I'm in a situation again where I have to start throwing the guy the football, or he's going to have to be a part of the team going forward this season. Because if you remember, Malcolm Mitchell, it wasn't like Malcolm Mitchell at the beginning of the season was doing much. And I know I keep comparing the two players, but it's the most recent example we have of like a rookie that really contributed as a receiver. It took Malcolm Mitchell a while to get going. Remember, it's basically, correct me if I'm wrong, Fitz, your memory's probably better than this on me, but it was basically after Gronk went down where they started throwing the football more to Malcolm Mitchell that year. And so it was basically out of necessity. And it seems like in this scenario, again, giving N'Keal Harry more playing time, getting N'Keal Harry on the field, having him contribute in some capacity is more of a necessity than something that Brady especially. Now, maybe it's different for Bill, but for Brady especially, he didn't want to do this. Now he's coming to the realization that, oh, yeah, he's actually going to have to contribute if I'm going to go where I need to go, which is getting back to another Super Bowl.
Right, and being able to keep up with teams if they get into shootouts against Kansas City, if they play Baltimore again, being able to keep the ball away from Lamar Jackson and be able to score the kinds of points that the Ravens put up on them 2 weeks ago. I always thought that Jacoby Myers might be the comp to Malcolm Mitchell in that, you know, when Gronk went down in the Jets game in the middle of the season, that's when they started leaning on Mitchell more, and Money Mitch had a great second half of the season, finished with in the low 40s with, I think, like 4 touchdowns and about 400 or 500 yards, and then really had himself a hell of a postseason, including a phenomenal second half of Super Bowl 51.
Yeah.
He was clutch. It was such a bummer that his knee went out on him and we never saw him on a pro field again. Maybe that's the Myers comp. I don't know if we've seen somebody like N'Keal Harry in a Patriots uniform. I really don't. I don't think we've seen somebody that has that combination of size and body. He's like a small power forward.
Yeah.
Like this is a big dude. And I really do think that Brady, going against this ridiculous narrative that has not erupted but grown and taken on a life of its own this year, that Tom Brady just doesn't like throwing to veteran receivers. I mean, only likes veteran receivers. Tom Brady doesn't like rookies. He's not going to want to work with them. Like, guess what? He's got a bunch of them on this team, and he may love the ease with which he can communicate and play football with the vets, but guess what? If he's going to want to get to where we think he deserves to or should go, deep into the playoffs or back to another Super Bowl or on a duck boat in February, he's going to need guys like this. So it makes sense to me that he would sort of like shepherd him a little bit, manage the expectations, and do everything he can to bolster the confidence of someone that I've allegedly heard doesn't need much of a confidence builder, if you know what I mean.
Oh, okay. So he's very sure of himself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Little cock in that walk, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. And to the Jacoby Myers point, the thing I'd say about that is it almost feels like, to me, they were starting to build him up, and then it's like, oh, they traded for Mohamed Sanu. It almost feels like Sanu's taking some of the roles that Myers would have, because they're not going to take Dorsett essentially out of the lineup. So then Myers becomes the odd man out. But obviously, N'Keal Harry is a totally different specimen in terms of how he plays compared to Myers. So in terms of the small receivers, and not that Sanu's small in stature, but he's not a big, huge, tall guy like Harry. So you look at it, the small guys are going to be Edelman, Sanu, and Dorsett. So that's why I feel like he's on the outside looking in is Myers. And then N'Keal Harry, there still is going to be a role for him in some capacity at some point. And also, you made the point earlier about how N'Keal Harry maybe wasn't ready for that up-tempo offense. But it feels like to me, that's like the one thing I can point to this season, with the exception of the Antonio Brown tenure. The only thing that's worked with this Patriots offense consistently has been when they revealed that, not that they've never run it before, but that up-tempo offense, Marlon Humphrey said after the game, they couldn't stop it, right? Edelman put the ball on the deck. And other than that, the Patriots are really moving the ball in the second half of that football game. And I'm wondering if that's something we're going to see more of, because quite frankly, I don't see the other way the Patriots offense is going to move the ball consistently, especially considering the running game I've completely given up on. I don't know where you're at with that, but I don't see them having any sort of consistent running game all season long.
I think it's the passing offense that is going to have to carry the team until the run game gets up to speed. I don't think they're going to, they're obviously not going to punt on it, but I don't think we're also going to see one of the five most infuriating Patriots games, non-playoff or Super Bowl loss edition. That would be the finale against Miami back in 2015. Remember that game? They force-fed Steven Jackson in the entire first half on the road in Miami after coming off that awful overtime loss to the Jets where Eric Decker ate Malcolm Butler's lunch in front of him in overtime and Ryan Fitzpatrick hit him in the corner on the touchdown after Inunua's long screen pass run. They force-fed him because they wanted to get the run game going for the playoffs, and then they lost a game that cost them home field advantage, and then that bit them in the ass when they went out to Denver later on. I don't think we'll see them be that obstinate this year, but I think the passing game is going to have to carry him. Again, this is where N'Keal Harry comes into play. This is where Mohamed Sanu, who I really believe they traded for so they could get 70% of Antonio Brown's 100% with 0% of the crazy. So I think he's such a great safety valve move, and obviously immediate trust and good interplay with Brady. A couple weeks back, just saw this. My buddy Brian handed me his phone, which has a lot of good Pats information on it today. The Patriots just tweeted out, let's not even wait for trending on this one. Chung and Damian Harris downgraded to out for tomorrow.
So Patrick Chung's out, Damian Harris is out.
So
are they still saying that Damian Harris has something going on with, what is it, a hamstring or something?
I think he,
how did he hurt his hamstring?
That just popped up this week, didn't it? Like that, like he wasn't, I don't think Damian Harris had been managing an injury for a while. Like, I think that's kind of new. Chung, I think it's the foot. So this has been bad for a while. So he had a bye week to get over this and must have done everything he could. Now, this makes me think there's a greater likelihood we're going to see Terrence Brooks in the game a lot more now. Yeah, you raise your eyebrows like, yeah, oh, that could go one of two ways. This increases the likelihood, I think, that we'll see top quality corners on these tight ends because they can't risk having these guys hold on to the ball all day long and beat them for 9 yards on third and six.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense because of the fact that they like to put Chung on the tight ends. And Bill, I mean, he absolutely loves Chung. Mm-hmm. Absolutely loves him. I remember before the season, like, he was asked a question, and this is before he was arrested. He was asked a question, Belichick was, about what happened with Patrick Chung.
Well, not really arrested, just sort of like, you know.
Well, yeah, you get the point.
Party foul.
Everything that went on there. But nonetheless, when he was asked about Patrick Chung and why he wasn't successful his first go-around in New England, he blamed himself. Billed it. He said, I didn't do a good enough job coaching the player. Mm-hmm. So Patrick Chung, that's obviously a massive loss to tomorrow for this matchup in particular. I mean, the one thing that you pointed out, Fitzy, off the top of the show, the one thing to worry about with Philadelphia is the two tight end sets. And that's one of your best defensive players in that particular scenario. Now, he's not going to be playing. And to your point about Damian Harris, I don't know. Everybody, it seems like, wants to see Damian Harris because of the play of Sony Michel. But I don't know. Maybe I'm in the minority in this. And I've never been, like, the biggest Sony Michel fan. I've never thought that he was, like, this unbelievable running back. I acknowledge what he did last year in the postseason. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just in the minority where I don't think that Sony Michel has been the biggest issue for the running game. I think it's more of the fact that you don't have Gronk. You don't have James Devlin. You don't have David Andrews. There's no holes whatsoever. I don't know what people want Sony Michel to do. I'm not trying to make excuses for the guy, but I've never considered him to be like Christian McCaffrey or Alvin Kamara or anything. I'm wondering if Sony Michel was taken in the fourth round and he did what he did last year in the postseason, if we would be defending Sony Michel in this town. I feel like we would be. I feel like we would be saying, oh, well, look how bad the offensive line sucks. It's not on Sony Michel, who was a fourth round pick last year. I feel like it's because he was taken in the first round.
Right.
We're always going to come back to that, and we're going to compare Sony Michel to other first round running backs just because he was taken in the first round. I just don't see where the holes are for him to run through right now.
Right. It's his draft status that's always going to be, well, right now it's a hindrance to him because he's always going to be compared to it, or people will say he can't live up to it because he's a first round draft pick. You know, look, Chubb was taken in the second round. And that kid's taken off. And that's not exactly the greatest offensive line in history that you see in Cleveland either. I like the way Nick Chubb runs. He seems a little more decisive. He seems powerful. At times, Sony Michel seems hesitant. Did a hell of a job last postseason. But again, I think it goes back to the offensive line. This is why one of the narratives and one of the I was talking up and one of the drums I was beating the last couple weeks was the bye could not have come at a better time for the Patriots. You could say maybe like that was the best. If they're going to have a loss, that's the best kind of loss they could have had, so they could learn a lot about a potential future playoff opponent and the best offense probably in the AFC, but also shore up some holes and weaknesses on their defensive front as well. But the bye couldn't have come at a better time because I think a lot of those guys on the offensive line are dinged up. Now, we have to survive the Marshall Newhouse experience just for one more week together, Pats fans.
That's tough.
That is going to be tough, especially with the edge pressure they're going to try to put on with Barnett and, you know, Brandon Graham tomorrow. We have to just survive one more week of Newhouse, which is a swear in my house, and hopefully maybe Tooney and Shaq Mason. I know they were both a little dinged up. Marcus Cannon, maybe they're all feeling a little better, which is what they're going to need to be able to start opening up some holes for Sony Michel. Don't let tomorrow be the Sony Michel referendum game, because I don't think a lot of like resurrections of running backs have taken place on Fletcher Cox's watch.
Yeah, and the Philadelphia, to their strength, has been the rush defense. They've been really good in terms of defending the run, so I would not expect that this would be a game that we've seen Sony Michel be effective. The one thing I will say with Sony Michel in a negative light, and I know I feel like I'm one of the only positive people about Sony Michel in this town, but I don't understand why they don't throw him the football. So it's one of two things. Either the player really can't do it, or they're just not doing it. They're not throwing him the football. Because if you remember going back to last year, when he was on the field, they were literally the most predictable team in the NFL. But the problem was nobody for the opponent. Nobody could stop him.
Yeah,
so they could line up and he could run it down your throat because you couldn't stop him. This year, it's totally different. I don't understand. Can Sony Michel really not catch the ball because he has 7 receptions on the season? Or is it just one of these things where they're not doing it? Because it feels like, from my perspective, if they're going to be more effective, maybe throw them the ball once in a while. Because, again, you're the same predictive team that you were last year, or predictable team you were last year.
Right.
Except this year, you're not good at running the football, so it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, James White is just so good with the ball in his hands in space.
Right.
Except when, of course, he trips over his own offensive lineman's ankle when he's going into the end zone. But you won't see that. I don't think you'll see that again. Rex Burkhead is a great he's such a great flex option. Like, I don't even think Rex Burkhead should get a designation of, like, running back. I think he is the definition of what a flex player is. So these guys are great with the ball in their hands in space. I guess you don't really have to throw it to Sony Michel. I do think it makes the offense a little less predictable. I do think it makes them a little more dangerous and dynamic if he can get the ball in open space. His college career was littered with screen passes to him where he would get in wide open spaces and he was off to the races down the sideline. He doesn't look as fast. His burst is missing. I don't know if he's been playing with something lingering.
Maybe it's a knee thing.
It could be the knee because he's had bone on bone in the knees. Maybe he's playing at a heavier weight to sustain, you know, all the rigors and the crunches that you take in the NFL. I don't know. But I would love to see him get the ball in space more. And that would probably help keep this aggressive linebacking and defensive line of the Eagles on their toes tomorrow and not just in Brady's face all day game long, because he's been facing a little more pressure. And man, oh man, do they miss the left tackle from last year. I mean, do you want to talk about somebody who was just pancaking humans to open spaces? Brown, right?
Yeah, Trent Brown.
Trent Brown, yeah.
Now he's on Oakland. And the other thing is with Isaiah Wynn, I feel like, Fitzy, everybody thinks that they're getting back like Joe Thomas in his prime. Like, I don't understand. Like, the guy's played 6 quarters, and everybody think. I guess it's going to be a massive upgrade because Marshall Newhouse, I heard Fourier say this, he may be the worst left tackle he's ever seen.
He might be the worst left tackle we've seen.
He's played on 8 teams in 7 years. 8 teams in 7 years.
His career highlight is getting hit in the knee, doing a 360 and fumbling the ball in Oakland. Like, that's the greatest thing that ever happened to him. That's the only thing, if you Google Marshall Newhouse, that's the first thing that'll come up. That's his personal butt fumble. He's like 49th out of 50 qualifying left tackles in football in terms of like run block grade. Like, he's just
he's not good. He does nothing well. Like, some of these left tackles, at least they're good in the run game. He's good at nothing. He's good at nothing. He just sucks. I mean,
what would you say you do here?
Yeah.
He's really not good at anything. So that's why we're building up Isaiah Wynn to basically be Matt Light 2.0, or like you said, Joe Thomas in his prime.
Yeah.
You know, this is the legend.
Jonathan Ogden?
Could be Jonathan Ogden. Could be
Tony Boselli?
Boselli, yeah. Maybe this is Boselli 2.0. And I know we're basically saying that the success of this year's offense hinges on a large-handed, tall rookie we haven't seen take a meaningful snap yet, and a left tackle that has only played 6 quarters of professional football.
Yeah, and you know what concerns me about that, too? I mean, it is unbelievable. Damn. I mean, other than that, things are looking good for the offense. But the other thing that I would
say, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln? Yeah.
With the win part of this is, what's telling us that he's not going to come back and get hurt again? Every time he's on a football field, the guy gets hurt.
Yeah, I know. Look, dude. Without hope, all we are Jets fans.
That's true. All right, if you want to join us at number 617-779-7937, Brian Barron and Fitzy with you. We'll get you trending in just a second here on WEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
More of what you want to hear, The Oddballs, with Fitzy and Gilroy on WEEI.
And it was Garrett. That was well after the play. And here it is.
Well, he tackled Rudolph. Rudolph didn't like the way that he was tackled.
Oh,
was,
gosh. Man. Oh, man. Oh. Oh, my goodness. Rips the helmet off Rudolph's head and then eventually swings it and hits him in the head. And then Ogunjobi comes up and hits Rudolph from behind.
Beyond words, Joe.
Oh, gosh. That's one of the worst things I've ever seen on a professional sports field.
It's inexcusable. I don't care, rivalry or not, we can't do that. That's kind of the history of, you know, what's been going on here lately, hurting yourself, and that's just endangering the other team. That's inexcusable. He knows that. I hope he does now. It's tough. We'll see.
Mason Rudolph, a friend of yours, Myles Garrett, a teammate of yours. What were you saying to your teammates over there to kind of calm everybody down?
I don't think there's anything in that moment that I can really say to calm him down. You know what? The reality is he's going to get suspended. We don't know how long, and that hurts our team. And we can't do that. We can't continue to hurt this team. It's inexcusable.
All right, well, that was Baker Mayfield after the game the other day. You heard the call from Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, and Joe Buck said it was one of those worst things he's ever seen on a sports field. Remember, one of the other worst things he saw was Randy Moss fake mooning the Green Bay Packers. And Baker Mayfield is somehow like the mature voice of reason in this. What world are we now living in where Baker Mayfield actually is like mature and it seemed like he knew exactly what he was talking about and he said the right thing after the game? I was shocked. I thought he would just say something along the lines of, yeah, it's not okay. We'll talk to him after the game. I didn't think the quarterback, his own team, said he's going to be suspended and we can't do that.
That was the most mature thing this kid has done. Is that when he became a leader? Did Baker Mayfield grow up in front of him? I love the fact you said that was the most surprising thing you saw that night because
the guy hit a dude with a helmet.
In a game where a giant defensive end, arguably the best defensive end and maybe the best pass rusher in football, unlocked Grand Theft Auto gridiron mode and tried to kill a man, or at least didn't know he was trying to, but swung a helmet like a mace in medieval times at another man's exposed cranium. Could have legitimately killed the guy. As it was, Mason Rudolph, by the way, I know he got hit so hard earlier this year they had to take his face mask off, and poor kid's got a history of concussions to begin with. He must have a head that's hard as rocks because he still did get kind of crowned with it and seemed okay after the game. But there's nothing else you could have or should have done after that outside of basically just, you know, not even wanting to talk about it because you were so disgusted. Good for Mayfield for stepping up and saying you can't do that, because just that's a bad example. Like, I hate going down like the sports dad road, but like, I got kids. I got lots of other friends I watch football and drink beer with and talk Pats that have kids that play youth football. Barrett, do you think, I know, you know, you're not dead on the inside like the rest of us that have kids, but like, do you think you want to have kids seeing a highlight like this right now? Because tell me some other kid isn't going to think it's cool or that it was awesome that, like, oh, did you see when he swung his helmet at him? Like, that's the worst thing you could possibly see when football has already taken all kinds of knocks for being too violent and the concussions.
Well, and you know how bad it is when you have literally every former player coming out and criticizing the guy, saying you should take legal action on the guy. That's when you know it's bad. When all the former players are like in unison. Now, there's some reporters that got a little outside of themselves. I'll get to that in a second. Like, some of these reporters, and that's the worst part. Well, the worst part is the hit, but I know I said the worst part like three times. But the other thing is, like, the reaction we got on social media and some of the takes that came out of this. Friday morning
was unbearable.
It's borderline amazing. Let's get to Eric. He's in a car. He wants to weigh in on this. What's up, Eric?
Yeah, hey, guys. How's it going? I was just wondering what you guys think about who would win in a fight, Myles Garrett or Rob Gronkowski?
All right, appreciate the call. You can grab his line at 617-779-7937. You want first crack at that one?
If we're going to go UFC style, Myles Garrett.
Yeah, I'd probably say Myles Garrett. Yeah. He's bigger than Gronk, isn't he?
That's a bad man.
He's what, 6'4"? Is he 6'5"?
Yeah, well,
he's definitely heavier. Now he's significantly heavier. But
CB Dikowski is still pretty ripped, and I'd give Gronk a fair shake in any scrum or scuffle that he ever found his way into. But, like, if you were to tell me, okay, an NFL player is going to swing a helmet at you, the power ranking of the first three that I would not want swinging it, Myles Garrett would make that list. I mean, like, that's just a big, bad man.
And how dumb is that, too, from this perspective? You know, the Browns literally could have made a run here. Have you seen their schedule? They have the easiest schedule the second half of the season. They have one, like, legitimate opponent left on there, Baltimore. They have a bunch of cupcakes left on their schedule. They actually, as bad as this has been, considering the way that the AFC wildcard picture is...
And they already beat Baltimore this year.
Right. And the way that the AFC wildcard thing is, like, the AFC is a mess after the top teams in the conference. Like, the Raiders, in all likelihood, get one of those spots. Them and the Chiefs, either one wins the division. Right. And then it's kind of, Buffalo's falling apart right now. So they could easily find a way to at least... You know that little category on the side where it says in the hunt? Yep. They could be in the hunt for the remainder of the season, and their best defensive player is now gone because he's a complete idiot. I just can't explain how that you can't be thinking, right? You're just seeing red at that point because you took the helmet off, right? So he has the helmet. I'm not justifying his action.
Right, and Mason Rudolph did try to take his off first, but because Myles Garrett didn't just sack him.
Right.
He tried to WWE him to the ground. And I was shocked that we didn't see the flag come out immediately for the unnecessary roughness on Garrett. Like, you got him. All right, you don't have to twist him around and do like a 360 fireman suplex. And then no wonder why Rudolph was pissed. I'd be pissed too. Like, guy, I get it. You're winning. It's the last minute of the game. You sacked me. Hooray for you. But you got to make a highlight reel out of it, too. So he tries to rip his helmet off because he's pissed.
Yeah. How about the Twitter reaction, though? So how about this one? Josina Anderson from ESPN, NFL reporter. This is just baffling to me. She said this on Twitter. I would bet that Myles Garrett will say he heard Mason Rudolph call him something egregious. Never seen Garrett act like that ever. Okay, now, first of all, she deleted this tweet like 5 minutes later because she was
I'll take unnecessary race baiting on Twitter for 600, Barrett.
I mean, isn't that unbelievable? Well, hey, I'm thinking here. I just saw Myles Garrett hit another player in the head. So Mason Rudolph must have said something that was racist. I mean, that's what she was saying. I mean, that is unbelievable to me that you could go to that place and justify the... First of all, at that point, nobody's justifying what he's doing. Now, the next day, most people did. But in the moment... She's not there. She's not on the field. She is putting on Twitter. By the way, she's on First Take the next day. She's on Twitter essentially saying Mason Rudolph must be racist. Yep. He must be a racist individual.
Right.
I don't know how you could do that.
Had to have been an N-bomb dropped. What's more unconscionable? What Myles Garrett did on the field or her playing the race card the next morning?
Her.
That's exactly how I feel, too.
I think you can never defend the action. And that's the other thing. Like, okay, we can't defend the action, but... Some of the reaction to the action has actually been worse. Let's just put it out there that I believe that Mason Rudolph probably said something that was racist. You don't know Mason Rudolph. You're just going to assume, because you've talked to Myles Garrett and he's this great guy that there's no way he could possibly do that. Well, he was seeing red. He had a helmet in his hands. He didn't release the helmet, so he was so pissed off that instead of throwing fists, he realized, I still have the helmet in my hand, so I'm just going to throw the helmet at the guy or hit him with the helmet. That's what he was thinking. He wasn't thinking. That's what happened. But it was nothing to do with race. Has that come out at all? No, nobody's even said that. But that you can't get away with saying stuff like that. And the fact that she was on the air the next day after she deleted the tweet, by the way, because ESPN's probably like, hey, yeah, you can't do that. Okay, you can't put that out there. And then she does yesterday. She puts on Twitter like four things that Mason Rudolph did to him, like grabbed his helmet, kicked him in the man region and all this stuff. It's like, okay, I understand that Mason Rudolph, like if people want to argue that he instigated this, okay, but here's fine. Here's where it gets out of bounds is the action that he took doesn't justify what Mason Rudolph did, right? Like if he just tried to take a swing at the guy, mm-hmm. people would be upset. He would get like a normal suspension, but the world wouldn't be going crazy. It's the fact that this, you can't defend a guy taking a helmet and trying to hit another player. And he did hit him, just not exactly as right. hard as he wanted to hit him. You can't defend that. Like the reaction to what Mason Rudolph did, it's not okay. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. I find what she did to be as objectionable and worse. Like, okay, so had Garrett connected, like that could have been devastating. Thank God Rudolph had the just enough wits about him and a line of sight to be able to parry and dodge that, because it was a glancing blow. But if he fully connected, Lord knows what would have happened to this guy. But still, sometimes physical trauma like that, there's a definitive recovery from that. What there may not be recovery from is starting like an online race riot, because right. you're supposing that somebody who could have, in a moment of physical rage in an excessively heated on-field contest, lost his mind for a second. Like, God forbid somebody just say, like, I don't know, there was the heat of the moment. That's it. That's all it has to be. But to say what she said is, I'm surprised that they let her on the air the next day. I'm surprised that they didn't just say, like, you know what, go ahead and take a week off for that one.
Yeah,
we're not going to. Why don't you go ahead and sit this one out, because we're not going to go down that road. I remember how pissed I was earlier this summer or springtime. Remember when Josh Gordon was making his way back, or like he appeared in like an IG story with Brady? Brady was throwing the ball and it looked like it was Brady Edelman, and it was from behind, and everything about the profile of the player and the person looked like Josh Gordon, all the way down to the fact that he was wearing like those signature compression sleeves that he wears on his legs. And everyone got hype and like screen capped it and retweeted it, like, oh man, Brady's throwing with Josh Gordon, Brady's throwing with Gordon. And Shalice Manza-Young of The Globe, I remember, fired off this tweet about, like, let's not everyone race to suppose that this is Josh Gordon here. You know, we all don't look the same.
Oh, my God.
And I just remember, like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? What is wrong with you? You wonder why people get pissed off at at sports media or the media in this town. Like, this just in. Not everything's about race, everybody. Every now and again, right. it's just person versus person, especially in the heat of contest, physical battle in a moment.
Well, and the other thing, too, is, now remember, Pouncey was right there.
Good for him, by the way.
And by the way, yeah. I thought that was unfair that he got three games, quite frankly.
He'll get that knocked down.
Yeah, we'll see. But then Pouncey, right, so he defends Mason Rudolph. And do you think that Mason Rudolph, and I get we had the situation, who was the Eagles player a couple years ago at the concert? Remember?
Oh, the wide receiver.
He went to Florida. He played with Tebow.
Riley Cooper.
Yeah, the Riley Cooper. You had that situation with Riley Cooper a couple years ago. That was at a concert, used a racial term. And so I understand that we've seen stuff like this in the past. But on a football field, do you think that Mason Rudolph, who, I don't know how much he weighs, probably 220, 6'5".
He's not a small person.
Right. Do you think, though, that he would use a racial slur when he plays with a bunch of black players? Do you think that he would use a racial slur calling another guy something? Like, I'm just thinking from her perspective. You're Josina Anderson. You think he said something racist, and then Pouncey stuck up for him after that? After he said something like that to Miles? Not to mention he's in a locker room with, for the most part, a majority of black players in the locker room every day. You think that he's going to use that terminology in that situation?
Guys like Villanueva and Pouncey are going to step to his rescue because, like, well, I'll tell you what. Normally, he's just letting N-bombs fly all over the locker room. But in this case, we'll protect him. Like, get out of here. They would have let Myles Garrett feast on him like a lion in the Serengeti. Get out of here with that.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
Worst take. Like,
it was so irresponsible.
That's it.
Because
it's not
people,
even just the worst take. It's literally, it's socially irresponsible.
Because, Fitzy, she has a large following. Like, she's an NFL reporter. So there's a lot of people looking at her tweet like, oh, he must have done. Like, people are agreeing with her because she has, I don't want to say power, but she has a following to the point where people are like, well, if Josina Anderson's saying this, there must be something to this. You know what I mean? Like, it misguides the public. Let's get to Mark. He's in New Hampshire on this. What's up, Mark?
Hey, what's going on? So
I'm listening to you guys, and I think the social acceptability of all this is really important, that, you know, you or I and all of us in our workplace, and this is a workplace for these guys, and I don't know about you guys, but in your own studio, if somebody, you know, gets really upset with what you're saying and pulls a mic and hits you over the head, it's not acceptable.
No, look, I understand your point, Mark, but I think it's difficult to compare, like, the everyday workplace, and I appreciate the call, to the NFL. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to happen. Like, right. In an everyday workplace, that's a more extreme thing where you're picking up a microphone and hitting somebody. This is literally a sport where you're getting paid to essentially assault somebody on every play, right?
I was going
to
say, they're literally
what you're doing.
Yeah, they do things on every play, Barrett, where, like, anything that they do, even on, like, a nice, clean zone run, like, half the things that other guys do to each other on that, from, like, cut blocks to, like, you know, holding, chips, et cetera, those are workplace crimes. So, like, somebody would be charged with, a misdemeanor assault or a felony on every, like, well-executed NFL play. So I think you can't equate that to workplace violence. And I haven't heard anything yet about, like, charges being pressed. I wouldn't be surprised if the Steelers, like, let it slide because Garrett's punishment is significant enough. Like, lesson's going to get learned.
Yeah, like his...
This isn't Donald Brashear.
Right.
This isn't Marty McSorley.
The Bertuzzi issue.
Yeah. The Bertuzzi issue, yeah.
Yeah, and in fact, I wonder, and we can get into this, which was worse, the Haynesworth thing or this? We can get into that. Also, there's one other media member. I want to point out what he had to say about the situation, that it's not as bad as Josina Anderson, but it's pretty damn close. The number is 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett and Fitzy with you right here on WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now back to The Oddballs with Fitzy and Gilroy on WEEI.
Myles Garrett, the main instigator of this whole situation, has been suspended indefinitely and basically will not be allowed to play again this season. Even if the Cleveland Browns go to the postseason, Myles Garrett no longer will be a part of it for his role in last night's melee in Cleveland. His season is finished. It is over.
All right, that was Adam Schefter yesterday on the suspension to Myles Garrett. So Myles Garrett, unfortunately for the Browns, when they make it to the Super Bowl this year, he's not going to be able to participate. So not just the regular season, he is out for the postseason as well in the case that the Browns make that deep run to the Super Bowl.
Which, given the uncertainty surrounding slots 5 and 6 for the wild card in the AFC, it's the most selfish thing he could have done. They're on a run. They're playing decent football now. And like you said, you know, they've got a Betty Crocker frosting schedule the rest of the way, save for one decent game against the Ravens, which, by the way, is in Cleveland. They have a chance to run the table. 9-7, let alone 10-6, should get it done for the 5th or the 6th slot. It's up to possibly Tennessee making a run because they're playing much better football now with Ryan Tannehill, a decent defense, and they're getting A.J. Brown involved, and Derrick Henry's a man amongst boys.
Yeah.
Could be the Raiders. I think the Bills are actually going to slide out of the playoff picture. And Pittsburgh doesn't look that great. You know, they just took care of him 21-7 at home. It was such a stupid thing to do. Such a selfish, stupid thing to do. Almost as stupid as Josina Anderson's tweet Friday morning. But still, ridiculously stupid.
Pretty close to that. Speaking of stupid tweets, you see Mike Florio. So this is what Mike Florio said after this. Colin Kaepernick forfeited his NFL career for engaging in peaceful protests. Should Myles Garrett forfeit his NFL career for engaging in behavior that could have seriously injured or killed Mason Rudolph? It's definitely comparable. The two situations, definitely, it makes perfect sense. Like, this is the prime example of somebody taking his narrative, like something that he's been pushing for, is Mike Florio trying to get Colin Kaepernick back in the NFL. Obviously, he's been all over the story. So now he shoehorns that into a discussion with Myles Garrett. It's just dumb. It just makes no sense whatsoever. And by the way, speaking of Colin Kaepernick, how about this? So this is a release from his lawyers.
We have a little breaking news.
Breaking news. Oh, nice. This is breaking news on Sports Radio WEEI.
Wow, Saturday afternoon production from Drew. Look at you.
Wow, I like that. So because of recent decisions, this is from Colin Kaepernick's lawyers, by the NFL, the workout for Colin Kaepernick will be changing to an alternate location in Atlanta, which will now start at 4 p.m. All representatives from clubs are invited to attend and will be provided the location. Further, all media will be invited to attend and upon request will be provided the location. From the outset, Mr. Kaepernick requested a legitimate process, and from that precondition to the workout, Mr. Kaepernick signed an unusual liability waiver that addressed employment-related issues and rejected the standard liability waiver from physical injury proposed by Mr. Kaepernick's representatives. Additionally, Mr. Kaepernick requested all media be allowed into the workout to observe and film it for an independent film crew to then ensure transparency. The NFL denied this request. Oh, so this is interesting, Fitzy. So Kaepernick's supposed to work out for the NFL. He says, nah, I'm going to go to my own place and do this. Yeah. I got to know. When do you think they knew? When do you think his team knew they were going to do this?
Oh, God. I'm guessing
they knew on Tuesday. They had this in the works since Tuesday.
But why? You're going to put this out Saturday at 2?
I think they want to embarrass the league.
Okay. Do you think this even happens now?
I think he's going to work out at 4. What do we get? We're about, what, an hour away?
We got about an hour and 5 minutes.
Right. Well, I think here's the key phrase is what they said in the statement is he wanted an independent film crew to be there to ensure transparency, right? Mm-hmm. So what he's saying the whole time and what the people around him are saying the whole time is, like me looking from this at the outside, it just looked like a PR stunt for the league, right? Mm-hmm. To basically appease.
Here, finally, we'll get this off our hands. We'll make sure that we can, that we, our moral conscience is clean. We'll give you a workout. Can I have it on a Tuesday when most people have it? No, have it on a Saturday when most people are already in transit to their game. Game plans have been installed and no coaches or coordinators will be available.
Yeah, and the fact that they give him 2 hours to decide, and originally it was going to be like Joe Philbin's going to coach him, and then it's going to be Hugh Jackson's going to run it. It was 3:36-1 in his NFL career. So it was just the whole thing was a joke.
Really,
must
hate him if they're going to have Hugh Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, Hugh Jackson, geez, and what is the NFL trying to get Hugh Jackson back in the league for? But the other thing that I would say is when he talks about the fact that they wanted to ensure transparency, right? So what the NFL thought, like the conclusion the league was going to come out of this with, despite the fact there's the report that Roger Goodell felt bad. If he felt bad, I mean, they would have set this up 2.5 years ago, right? So what I'm thinking here is what Colin Kaepernick was afraid of is he's going to have this great workout. Nobody's going to sign him. It's not going to be seen anywhere, right? We're not going to see the workout, maybe like little clips or something. So it's just basically going to be like, look, we gave him a shot. Nobody wanted to sign the guy. He just doesn't have it anymore. He's not good. So he probably wanted this film crew there. So if he throws the ball really well, it's out there for everybody to see, like, oh, Colin Kaepernick can still play. Although I don't know what you get from like this little personal workout, but obviously he doesn't trust the league, and that's why he does this. I mean, this is amazing to me. The NFL, like,
very
this,
calculated move by Team Kaepernick on
right,
this one.
Like,
I like
this,
it.
It's unprecedented to begin with that you're having a private workout for a player, and then the day of, he says, screw you guys, I'm doing it my own way.
Yeah, you know, this feels like something out of like a heist movie or something. Like, this just got very intriguing. Here's a good take by Dove Kleiman on Twitter. He says, Kaepernick moving the workout makes every sense in the world. He doesn't want the NFL to control the narrative after they declined his request to allow media and cameras in.
Right.
Like you said, like, oh, the NFL cameras, like, oh, we'll get all your best shots. We'll give you a nice hype reel.
Yeah.
Don't you worry. Like, that's almost sort of like if you ever take like your family to like get either like Santa Claus mall pictures or you do family photos or like even class photos. And they're like, no, you can order the photos from us. Like, guy, I paid you $50 or $100 for the sitting. Just give me the negatives. Just give me like anyone has negatives anymore. That's hilarious, Fitzy. Like, just send me the compact disc. No one does compact. Just send me the digital file. And they won't. Like, no, yeah. You don't get to profit off this. You don't get to control this narrative. So them moving this now, there is no reason for Kaepernick to trust the NFL at this point. There is no reason to let them control the narrative. And if they're going to force him into a workout on a Saturday when the best teams can send are either video guys or scouts, right? At 2:55, for God's sakes, when college football is happening, exactly.
Yeah.
Tua Tagovailoa's injury today is a bigger story than Kaepernick's workout, or at least it's supposed to be. Damn right he should do this. Good for him. And if you're a Kaepernick hater, you have to at least respect the balls on him and his team for pulling a little bait and switch like this.
Yeah, we'll continue to get into this. If you want to weigh in, what do you make of Colin Kaepernick moving his workout that the NFL set up? 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett and Fitzy with you right here on WEI.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!